Your heart. It's the only one you have. Fortunately, you also have a choice. Expert cardiologists, talented surgeons, highly skilled specialists, all of whom chose WakeMed. Why? The main reason is the same reason patients choose WakeMed. Everything you need for the best possible care is right here. Learn more at WakeMed.org. WakeMed Heart and Vascular Physicians. Your heart, your choice.
So, what do we do now? Hockey season? All in on the draft for the Carolina Panthers? They added a wide receiver. They got Thielen.
The Panthers have been very busy, but are you suggesting that we can't follow the Sweet 16 or take an interest in it now?
No, it's a wrap. It's a wrap.
All of our teams on the men's side are gone.
No, it's I'm joking here because some of the general attitude that I got from some of our listeners over the weekend was like, so what the hell are you guys going to do now? What do you mean, what the hell are we going to do now? The NCAA tournament's still ongoing.
We're going to do the same thing we do every day.
NHL Combine's coming up in June. I don't know about you guys.
No. So we got there's plenty. There's plenty. Plus, we do have to do the post-mortem on the triangle. Obviously, we know North Carolina did not make the NCAA tournament. We talked about that plenty going into the first weekend of games. And then we actually had the games. Friday, NC State season ended abruptly with a loss to Creighton. Duke made quick work of Oral Roberts on Thursday, but then they got bodied, literally, by Tennessee on Saturday. And I guess the biggest takeaway I would say about what happened with Duke and what happened with NC State is that both seasons had positives to look forward to, and that the NCAA tournament, unless you make it to the Sweet 16, ends real quick, real painful, and you don't know how to process what you just watched sometimes. So you want to start with the Wolfpack or you want to start with the Blue Devils?
Let's start with the Wolves because they only played one game and they played against a Creighton team that is one of the last pretty ball teams standing.
Mm-hmm.
I did think the two fouls on DJ Burns in the second half were wonky.
Yeah.
And I thought Burns not scoring was obviously a problem with Kalkbrenner scoring 30. So you can't get outscored at one position by 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
Even saying that, Creighton didn't shoot the ball well enough to pull away. NC State had a chance. But only Tre'Quavion Smith was hitting from the outside. That's a bad recipe for NC State.
And I would say that that's where things kind of cooled off for the Wolfpack towards the tail end of the year. It went from a complimentary type of season for the Wolfpack where...
Yeah, they would cobble some things together on a game-by-game basis. You know, if the guards weren't going, then you had DJ. If DJ was going, maybe Casey Morsell was hitting his threes. Maybe you had a random good game from Ernest Ross.
Sure.
Or Greg Gant, you know, we saw all of this as the season kind of unfolded. They kind of brother-in-lawed that thing. But by the time they see a Creighton team, a very poised and efficient, accomplished offensive team that was going to play the way that State wants to play, you're going to lose. You're going to lose when your guys aren't going, you're going to lose. And I didn't like the matchup going into it. I've talked a lot during this NCAA tournament about the death of pretty basketball. And that's what I think dovetails us nicely and transitions us to the Tennessee-Duke game. Because, you know, I love telling people how when I'm right about things. And I'll tell you what I was right about. Bracket luck. My gosh, do you believe me now that bracket luck is real?
Mm-hmm.
Duke's the East Regional right now. Think about this. It's Madison Square Garden. It's New York City, right? They'll be fine. I get that part of it. They were thinking, you know what? We could have Duke against Kentucky. They were thinking, you know what? Even on the other side, I mean, we could have Purdue. They're the number one seed. They have this circus freak show center, maybe the number one player in college basketball. And then even going into yesterday, they were probably thinking, yeah, but we could get all of Teaneck over here to see FDU play.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, man.
Nope.
You got Florida Atlantic, Tennessee, and their mall ball. You got Kansas State, who's actually a pretty good team, and then Michigan State. Izzo, interesting. Another one of those coaches who seems to know how to steal games in this month. It's weird how some of them know how to do that and some of them can't.
Some residual conversations from last week. I feel like we're picking up on that. Here's what I'll say about Duke. this wasn't a matter of Tennessee out-toughing Duke. I thought Duke responded. I mean, Kyle Filipowski's first elbow to a face.
Man, okay. Was there three in the first half to him?
Yeah, man, it was brutal. Like, essentially, Duke's entire season has been other teams looking at them going, oh, no, we can probably bully them. And Duke saying, okay, cool. We might get knocked back, as Coach A used to say, but they would always punch back. They always would weather it. I think there are two reasons why Duke's team ultimately lost to Tennessee. The first one was attrition.
Yes.
You could be as tough as you possibly can. I think Duke's season showed you that in multiple instances.
Resilient. Yeah.
A very resilient group. A team that did not mind playing ugly. A team that did not mind getting physical with you if you tried to get physical with them. But eventually, attrition's going to get to you. So right off the bat, you're missing Mark Mitchell.
Okay. Who's been key down the stretch.
Then you get the elbow to Filipowski, which, again, that's basketball. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. There didn't need to be a call. But you get gashed. And, you know, old best cut man in the league there is trying to make sure he doesn't bleed out on the court. So you're missing Filipowski for a good considerable amount of time in the first half as they're trying to stop the bleeding, literally. And then Jeremy Roach
twists his foot.
Yeah. And then you start getting foul trouble, which Duke did get bailed out, by the way, because they ended up calling the foul on Tyrese Proctor, who was all ball. That should have been Roach's fifth, but they misassigned the foul. So there was a little bit of a break there, but at that point it wasn't enough, which gets me to the other part of why Duke lost. Duke was when it came to the three. Just
Yeah, I mean, noted hockey analyst Sidney Lowe is usually right in these situations. You got to make shots. And Tennessee made enough of their threes to give themselves some cushion there. Yes. And really just kind of, I thought they wore Duke down. Not that Duke wasn't tough. I just felt like by those last 10 minutes of that game, it was a true grind. And hats off to Justin Gainey. You know, he's done a really good job at Tennessee, former NC State point guard. He did a really good job with Sean Miller out of Arizona, too. I'm not rooting for him to get the Tennessee job or for Rick Barnes to retire. But if that were to happen, I would be really happy for Justin to see him take over that program.
Here's what I'll say, too, about what I saw from Tennessee, and really probably what I saw from a good chunk of NCAA tournament games from Thursday throughout. Oh, one last point about Tennessee. They shot for the season going into that game, I think around 30% from three.
If that, yeah.
If that. They weren't a great three-point shooting team. They were banging
and
threes.
And they have an injury, too. They have a injury, too. We should point that out.
But they were banging threes on Duke. Oh. All right? If they shot over 40%, probably, was it 9 of 14 from three? Like, come on. What are you going to do?
Your day.
Right. And it was Tennessee's day, and that's why I tweeted out what I tweeted out. Hey, sometimes when they're doing that to you, not only are they being physical with you, you got the attrition, and they're banging threes. Yep. Tip your cap, say good game, and retool for next season. We'll see what John Shire does.
I was going to say, it's a really good season for Duke, given all of those moving parts.
Of course.
And to have the ACC title, to have a nice prize when you get home at the end of this year, that's something to hang your hat on. How will Duke change? I think John Shire has already said, hey, man, you don't need to tell me twice. I'm looking around college basketball going, I got to get a little bit older.
Yeah, well,
and there's talented young players out there for sure. But you start watching Houston, you start watching Alabama, you start watching some of these teams, and you're like, whoa, now, hang on.
So, the last point I'll make, and this is more of a larger thing for the ACC, which keeps the streak going thanks to Miami.
They've had a Sweet 16 every year since 1980. Now, I get credit for that, right?
You get credit for this one, I guess. Okay. We'll have to call my dad.
Yeah,
actually.
I feel like we'll get the blame when they lose, but I don't get any credit when they win.
Well, you know what?
That doesn't seem right.
We're going to call my dad at some point today because I sent you a video yesterday from my parents where he's like, Julio's a jinx. He's always negative. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I think the Tennessee-Duke game is the shiniest object here, but I think it follows with most of what I saw over the weekend. They let them play in the NCAA tournament.
Except for a 5 minute stretch in that State Creighton game.
Yeah. Which is what. You know,
poor Creighton. They're going to run Princeton out of the gym whenever that game is. And then Alabama is absolutely going to paste them. Because Creighton does not play any defense at all.
By the way, just one more
dunk for me.
Yeah.
I said before this bracket, once this bracket was unveiled, I said Alabama has the easiest path I've ever freaking seen. And sure enough, look who showed up in the Sweet 16 with them. Like, Nate Oates has absolutely no reason to right now already book his spot in Houston. None. He should have just looked at that bracket on Selection Sunday and said, okay, let's make sure we got this thing packed and ready to go. We get the right hotel as the number one overall seed in this tournament.
I feel like in the offices of the ACC, they're going to look at what happened in the NCAA tournament. They're going to look at how the SEC has played or the Big Ten plays, and they're going to say, we're going to have to call games differently. I don't think that ACC officiating, as inconsistent as it was, you could make the argument that it was a much more – they called more fouls in the ACC, or at least that's how I felt anecdotally when I was watching. I'd have to go back and look to see if that actually plays out. But based on what I saw, the ACC did not equip its teams to play the games. We saw a lot of games this season where they were just like foul, foul, foul. You know, from about, you know, the 10-minute mark on, it was a foul fest down the
Which
stretch.
Which, of course, is why they need to go to quarters, but that's a topic for another day.
It is a topic for another day.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete DeRuta, America's wealth coach and best-selling author. Coach, one of the big questions I always hear is, do I have enough money to retire?
Well, maybe, maybe not. The most important thing is you have lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll design that plan for the next 10 people who call. No cost or obligation. Put yourself in control of retirement.
Call 800-691-3215. You can also text Tim to 600-700. That's T-I-M to 600-700. You'll hear from Coach Pete and the Capital Financial Advisory Group.
The case of the missing Cat Dad mug has been put to rest. Somebody walked home with the Cat Dad mug that you had got me for my birthday last year or Christmas of last year.
One of those.
And it's upsetting. I looked all over the day.
There's two different dishwashers and two different kitchens in this building.
Yeah. Can't find it.
Gone.
It's gone. Somebody walked out of here with it, and it's upsetting. So you came in today with, you showered me with peanut butter and a new cat mug that says, meow or never.
Clever cat puns will never get old.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of cat puns here. Meow or never. And I feel like after this weekend of the NCAA tournament and the way that the Sweet 16 has played out, it's meow or never for programs to get with the program, if you will. I hope that this weekend finally put to rest the idea that the NCAA tournament in some way, shape, or form can truly give you a read on the year or a coach or whatever, right? I mean, we spent a good chunk of time dunking on Tony Bennett last week because they got beat by a 13 seed by Furman. But do we want to look at Matt Painter's run, dude?
It's problematic. But like Tony Bennett keeps dominating his conference. It keeps winning in his conference.
Yeah. And what's funny about what happened with Fairleigh Dickinson is that they were truly the clerks of this NCAA tournament. As in, they weren't even supposed to be here.
And also from New Jersey.
And from New Jersey. Peak New Jersey. Because Merrimack had actually won their league. But they're in the current state of transitioning up, so they're not available yet. It's like a 4-year plan. We've seen this locally, like Central's gone through this and whatnot. Merrimack is currently going through this. So Fairleigh Dickinson was the representative, and they're small, okay? And they had no business
feisty
hanging with Purdue.
A lot of D2 transfers that came with the coach from the previous stop.
Yeah.
One of the great, you know, tale as old as time, stories of March. That's what we want to see, right? Mm-hmm. We want to see the chaos of those first two rounds. But now we get to the Sweet 16. Yeah, Princeton's there, but you know, we want to see the big boys. We want to see the big teams, the big names. But who's really left of those brands, right?
Yeah.
Because of how much college basketball has changed. You know, this tournament used to be pros win this tournament, right? Going back to our Tony Bennett conversation, they had three NBA first-round picks on that team. It is not a coincidence that that is the one who won it for Tony Bennett. And you start looking around through the years, it's been those teams that have NBA and future NBA stars. But now with COVID and the extra year of eligibility, and not only that, but there's a whole layer of players now who don't play college basketball. Like, we're going to get to the NBA draft, and everyone knows about Victor Wembanyama. But then you're going to see Scoot Henderson. You're going to see a bunch of names in that top 10, and you're going to be like, oh, did he play for Arkansas?
Nope.
No. Oh, did he play for Alabama?
Nope.
No. No, they have, Arkansas and Alabama have projected first-round picks. Duke obviously has some projected first-round picks.
Dariq Whitehead being the main one.
But we're not seeing that upper echelon go and play college basketball anymore,
no.
Which gets into one of my great thoughts of all time, and that is there's no difference between 20 and 220 of these players that are ranked coming out of high school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to be really discerning. And I used to give Dave Tellup a hard time about this all the time. I used to say to him, Dave, I get it. You know what number one looks like.
Dave Tellup was or is now with the San Antonio Spurs organization, but he used to be part of huge into recruiting and
rivals,
rankings and rivals.
Basically
and
started the recruiting racket or perfected it, whichever way you want to look at it. Shout out to Bob Gibbons. But I used to say to him, yeah, I get it, Dave. I know what the number one prospect looks like. But you're telling me you can tell the difference between 21 and 221. Mm-hmm. Come on. You can't.
Well, that's when we were talking about Tony Bennett, our guy JC had pointed out to me. He's like, yeah, but Tony Bennett's dealing with guys in the 50s and up. I'm like, yeah, but can you really tell the difference between somebody in the 55, 60 range versus somebody that's 35 or 40? Like, we're really picking nits here at this point. So I do think that with COVID, transfer portal, and to your point about overtime elite prospects skipping college altogether and being top picks in the draft, you're not seeing the best of the best even playing 1 year of college basketball.
Right.
That we have to shift our thinking with the NCAA tournament, not just in who we think is going to go far, because we saw that on display between Tennessee and Duke. Okay, that's a group of dudes that are 3-4 years into the mix in college basketball versus Duke, which is a talented group, but even that talent is different than the talent 5 years ago with the talent that was there in 2015 to win a national championship with Mike Krzyzewski, which did also have some veteran leadership in Quinn Cook. But if we all recognize these things to be true, then we have to change how we talk about the results of the NCAA tournament. And we have to change what is success versus what is not success. Now, making the tournament is the goal, all right? So
you got to be in it to win it.
So,
the risk of pointing out the obvious.
So shout out to the North Carolina fans in my mention that were like, "Were you going to go and harden the paint on State and Duke after they just lost in the NCAA tournament?" Well, you see, the key difference, guys, between how we talked about North Carolina preseason number one that didn't make the field versus teams that had different expectations and did make the field, then yes, I can parse the difference between the two when we talk about them. And I think this also gets down to coaching as well. Am I trying to cape up for Tony Bennett? No, I'm not. I don't think I am. I think what I'm doing is that I'm trying to have a little bit more level-headed conversation about what happens in the NCAA tournament now. A team that is in no way, shape, or form equipped to properly crown a champion. If we cared about crowning the best team in college basketball, this is not how you do it, all right? I mean, we're actually going to see this with college football here pretty soon when we expand the college football playoff. We're going to get some more of this stuff early on in the grand scheme of things. But Furman's 13 over Virginia's 4 was not a fluke. We had two 13s beat 4s in 2021. That included Ohio's win over Virginia, although that was a weird COVID year, so I'm going to kind of put an asterisk next to that one. But from 2008 through 2019, it happened 11 times, okay? And then we had Princeton over Arizona last week. There were four 15s over two upsets in the first 27 years of the expanded field. There have been seven in the last 10 tournaments. The fact that Virginia, being the first team to lose as a number one seed to UMBC, a 16 seed, back in 2018, it happened pretty quickly after the fact, with a team that's arguably worse than that UMBC team that beat Virginia for the reasons we just laid out at the beginning of this conversation, okay? And it's kind of the point where what we consider upsets, are they really upsets anymore? I'm not talking about a 15 over a 2 right. or a 16 over a 1. I'm talking about a 5 over a 12.
Or Michigan State over Marquette.
Right. Is that an upset anymore? Not necessarily.
Yeah.
So all of this is to say, if we recognize that the thing has changed for all these reasons and we all nod our head in agreement, like, yep, that's true, then the tired tropes of how we talk about coaches and teams after they get bounced from the NCAA tournament has to change with it. I don't think that's too much to ask.
Well, you're asking for nuance, though. I mean, what fun is that?
Yeah, that's a good point. But to your point about Tom Izzo, I think Tom Izzo does prove a point that you were trying to make last week when it comes to Tony Bennett. I can sit here and point, well, Tom Izzo hasn't won a national championship in 23 years. However, there is a consistency when Tom Izzo gets into the NCAA tournament. And there's something to be said for that, right?
When he gets a look at it, make sure he makes sure his teams win.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.